You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
And your come and save her. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. We are so very honored to have a surprise birthday party for our guest today. And to start it off, I would like to read this piece that I wrote, Circadian Carol, a birthday tribute to Dwayne Brayboy. God rest you merry, gentlemen. There's plenty to dismay as diphthongs, consonants, vowels, so quickly pass away. Our mother tongues woven into our souls once made every one of us every whit whole, until a murder of crows washed our mouths out with lie, shackling ancestors' words to a language of lies. Hope overcomes even the cruelest transactions. Our faithful Creator gifted us you, your wisdom, your lessons, your good mind, too, and the sacred work that you teach us to do in our native language of love. We are absolutely thrilled to celebrate the birthday of the great Tuscarora teacher, Dwayne Brayboy. And we have a gift to present to you today. Don't worry, we'll still have a great conversation, but we want you to know that we love you, that we honor you, we respect you, and we appreciate you. And our gift to you is that we have created a brand new music video for my song, Happily Ever After. And this music video is dedicated to you in honor of your birth and your life and the good things that you do. So happy birthday, Dwayne Brayboy. We love you. We appreciate you. And most of all, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Welcome to our show. Would you like to introduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Yes. My name is Dwayne Brayboy. My Tuscarora name is Runigwache, and I am with the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, enrolled at Prospect Longhouse, and I'm Bear Clan. What a wonderful honor. I am so grateful. I don't really know what to say. Being honored this way, you know, I've always been one of those people that people say I'm hard to buy gifts for, and it's because there's the gifts that I work with are not usually can't be bought. You know? And so having an honor like this, that means so much more than any material thing. I'm really smiling wide right now. Thank you. Thank you. What a great honor.
Well, we wanted to surprise you, and we wanted to honor you, and we wanted to give you a gift.
And what a beautiful poem. I love this. This would not be the... when I get these words that you've written, I'm going to frame them. It wouldn't be the first words of yours I have framed in my house, but I'm going to add that.
That's marvelous. Oh, I love it. Well, I'm so happy. That makes me so happy. I love to celebrate and I love to honor. And oh, I'm just so excited that it's you and your wonderful, radiant life, because it is, it's your time. You have done a lot of work behind the scenes and you have labored with love in your heart to preserve the language, to teach others, to help others. You certainly helped me and are a blessing to me. And now it's time for us to honor you, to bless you and be a blessing to you. So for our folks at home, you can find the Happily Ever After music video dedicated in honor of Dwayne Brayboy and his birthday on our YouTube channel, Dawn Karima. And you will enjoy it, I'm sure. And one of the nice treats about that song is it does have some Achota language in it as well. We're glad you're here.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes,
and I'm so glad to be here. Yes, I am so surprised. Yes, surprised, excited. Yes, I'm just here going, thinking to myself, you know, like, wow, how quickly can I get to the YouTube after I get off the phone with you.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Well, that's just what we wanted, to have a great tribute to you and an honor in your name. And what you do is so precious and so important. And we get a chance to talk about that today, because we're going to talk about one of the topics I'm absolutely passionate about, everyone knows, and that's Indigenous homeschooling. And I truly believe there was no such thing, right? And in the old path, we identified your gifts and talents, your wisdom, your personality, and then we placed you with elders, with people who did this well, and you learned how to do it too. We nurtured your gifts and your talents. If you were good with an arrow, maybe you joined the warriors or the hunters. If you had a mastery of color and you were very patient, then the beaters would take you under their wing and teach you beadwork. And maybe if you were the kind of person in touch with Mother Earth, you were growing crops or dealing with food. You know, we had something for everyone. We had a place for everyone. And everything we learned started with a conversation. It started with love and it started with community. So I would love to hear what you think about Indigenous homeschooling.
Well, I agree with you, first of all. Of course, everything you say, such logic, sound logic, great wisdom, and I agree with everything you've said and feel the same. Everyone has a gift, and like what you just said, our old belief here is that in Tuscarora culture, nobody is disposable. Everybody mm-hmm. has a purpose. Mm-hmm. And everybody serves a role in our communities, you know, whether it is somebody who is working with crops or teaching the children or being a political leader or mm-hmm. a medicine person. And these were very, as you said, specific endeavors, that there were people whose areas of expertise would take in the young people to raise them up in that line of work. And so everyone serves a purpose. And it all starts with a conversation, communicating language, and then from that conversation, you know, the learning begins. And this is the way it always was. You know, the harshness, I guess, of, say, the public school system so often. You know, I hardly know a person at this point in my life who has mm-hmm. gone through the public school system, who is not jaded or disaffected by that whole system
right.
in some way. You know, mm-hmm. There's just so many, you know, I was talking to a wise elder lady one time, and we were talking about this very subject, and she said, you know, adolescence is the cruelest place on earth.
Yes.
And so I think that it's a very honorable pursuit if a parent can homeschool to do that. Mm-hmm. I've known homeschooled people who were homeschooled from birth, and they are the most well-adjusted, solid, good-minded people. I know if I were lucky enough to have children, I would do anything I could to make sure that they were homeschooled.
I deeply appreciate everything you're saying, and I want to make sure that we touch on this, because one of the things that my brother used to say was that you never have to go all in. And so, you know, I have the privilege of homeschooling, and I'm so thankful to be a homeschooling mama, you know. But I understand there are some folks that, you know, your work schedule or your economics or your situation, you just, maybe you can't do it. But you can do some of it. You know, in many cultures, there's the Saturday school, right? There are some kinds of language immersions that take place outside of the classroom. So even if you don't homeschool every day of the week, I believe that you can still teach your children lessons that are important to you at home. Your culture, your traditions, your beliefs, your faith, whatever it is that they might not get in a classroom that you're not there. You can still teach on weekends. You can still have after dinner, you can have a life lesson or a language lesson. There are ways to fit in homeschooling into every life. So we're talking about, you know, indigenous homeschooling in place of public education, but I want you to know that you're welcome here. Even if you can't do that, even if that's not something you can do, there are still ways that you can teach your beliefs and traditions and culture and everything you love to your children when they're not in the school classroom. So there's something you said that I thought was absolutely brilliant. Well, everything you just said, but one thing I think really parents need to hear, and it's that homeschoolers are wonderful people. You know, I think sometimes there's some myths of, oh, they won't have socialization skills or they're missing out on so much. I'm not really sure what they're missing out on. When I look at today's headlines and the news and all, right. I'm not sure what they're missing really, you know. But
I agree.
You know, you mentioned that there's some wonderful people, and I had the same experience. When I went to Harvard, I met lots of people who were homeschooled, and they were just lovely. But also, they were decolonized. So
yes.
What does Indigenous homeschooling do to decolonize our children?
Well, I think that my thoughts on this have been that if the parents have the opportunity to homeschool, Native parents can then unfettered have full control over mm-hmm. their children's education mm-hmm. and instilling our worldview in them rather than somebody else's. Because I've seen, even when I was in school, you know, especially in high school, let's say, the values that just are not consistent with our Native worldviews.
Yes.
And, you know, I've felt all my life that the public school system is the great homogenizer. You know, it just homogenizes everybody into conformity, you know, and that is where colonization really affects Native children so badly, because they are indoctrinated into this way of thinking, this worldview that devalues our values.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much a tool of oppression, you know, an apparatus of oppression. the public school system, I believe. And that's why, you know, back in the early 70s, late 60s, in Tuscarora communities in Robeson County, North Carolina here, back during that time, that was during the desegregation days. Well, while everybody was, well, the majority were attempting or striving for decolonization, desegregation. yeah, we're still striving for that one.
Yes. Oh,
but
yes.
Everybody was striving for desegregation, but Tuscaroras were fighting for segregation because we had our own Indian school system. We had our own Indian schools in my communities. And so we wanted to keep that, you know, because in Tuscarora schools, it was almost the next best thing to homeschooling because it was just Tuscaroras there who we all could participate in our growing knowledge together. The, the teachers could instill without shame our traditional values that other people see as hokey or just don't understand, you know, our particular worldviews. So we were fighting for segregation for that purpose because we wanted to maintain our own Tuscarora schools.
Wow. I love this because what I see is that education and identity seem to be very much intertwined, right? I mean, they're intertwined, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, there's no change. You know, when we talk about history, everyone nods. And we do have a complicated relationship. All of our tribes do, even in Canada, our friends in Mexico. You know, we have a lot of legitimate trepidation about the educational systems that come from conquering or colonizing governments. And it's not in our head. There's evidence. Residential schools that have cemeteries out back, or, you know, people being disciplined and beaten for speaking their language or mistreated for wanting to continue to wear their hair long. This isn't in our heads. This is very real. But it's also very recent.
Yes.
We act like this is, you know, ancient history. Really, no, the 60s.
I've lived through that. I lived through this myself. When I was in high school, I had long hair, which is consistent with my Tuscarora heritage. And the principal of the school, who is non-native, disliked males with long hair so badly that he seriously considered enforcing or enacting a school dress code that mandated that, you know, males could not have long hair. I lived through that.
Wow. That's important. You know, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But I think we need your example and examples like it in order to help our Indigenous homeschooling parents. You know, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Here's why.
Right.
You know? And so
what does it
look like to you? You know, you lived through that experience, and I'm so thankful you came out on the other side, this wonderful person who still adores and teaches your culture. But what does that look like when children are bombarded with that kind of thing? Do they lose their culture? Do they give up on their language and tradition?
I think that to a large degree, the threat has been posed. And so there is a reaction among the students. I remember in eighth grade in my social studies class, my teacher literally saying that American history didn't begin until Christopher Columbus arrived.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I heard had to hear my social studies teacher in eighth grade in the 1980s tell that to my class. And I wasn't the only Native mm-hmm. in that class. Right. And I just remember sitting there at my desk just confused. You know, mm-hmm. What does this mean? Why would he say this? He's the teacher. Right. Surely he mm-hmm. is aware that there were people staying here, living here before Columbus arrived, you right. know? And I remember speaking to my family about it and afterwards, you know, and I'm like, well, where do we fit into this? Because mm-hmm. they never mm-hmm. taught Native American history in elementary school, junior high, high school, when I was going to school. And I'm from an area that has the largest Native population in the state.
Right, right.
Wow. And this in that area, you know, this is the way they were teaching us in that area. So the threat is there. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it will affect the children. It will. And that's why we need parents, all Native parents, on board with this. That, like you said, even if they, through circumstance, cannot homeschool their children, then at least mm-hmm. help school their children.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
beautiful.
When the kids come home, yes, when the kids come home, you know, mm-hmm. they can tell them something in the language, use the language, their language mm-hmm. with their children, you know. Mm-hmm. They won't be using, you know, their native languages in schools, but and certainly not learning them there, but the parents can whenever the children get home. And they can talk about their specific history and how they relate to other Native nations and outward and so on. They can talk about our worldview, words mm-hmm. in particular in their language. Hey, this is a really neat word in mm-hmm. our language, and this is what it means. You know, just they may not be able to do everything, but they can certainly mm-hmm. do something to help mm-hmm. their Native children in the home understand and be proud of who they are and their history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That is so inspiring. Thank you for that, because I love that. I will always think about that. You know, even if you can't homeschool entirely, you can help school. And
yes.
there are curriculum, you know, there's curriculum that's available for free, even high quality curriculum. And we can infuse it with our languages and with our ideas. You know, when your children are learning to count, that's a great time to learn to count in English and in your home language, your traditional language, your mother tongue. There's a lot
yes.
we can do that just helps them to know, first and foremost, that our identities, our people, our cultures are still alive, not extinct, not ancient history, but vibrant and vital right now, and that they are valuable. And that prevents some of the erasure and the inferiority that comes from school systems and people who are saying that you have no value and that all the value happens from 1492 onward.
Yes, I agree.
I'm really interested, though, and excited about talking about homeschooling, immersive homeschooling with you. You know, for folks who are going to do this, and this will be the education that their children receive, you know. What are, in your opinion, the foundation, the bedrock of Indigenous homeschooling? Like, what indigeneity, what lessons in Indigenous culture, life, whatever, do we absolutely have to include?
Well, our history for sure. I would say our history, because our history is not taught in public mm-hmm. schools. And I have heard of some people telling me that they have read or been taught some modicum of Native history in schools, maybe something superficial, or just like maybe one event, like, say, the Trail of Tears.
Right.
You know, they might mention this one aspect of Native history and then move on. But even then, I don't really think that public educators or the public school system are going to teach our history in the very unvarnished light of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is what's important. I mean, in my time, I mean, I've been a historian my whole life to some degree. Ever since I was a kid, I've always been interested in older things and artifacts and history, and since I was a child. And so I have been educating myself on, say, my people's history, the Tuscaroras in particular, focusing very, very intensely on every little aspect of our history so that I could understand our real history.
Yes.
And not just grab some piece of our history and run with it, but the whole picture. What was really going on at the time, 100, 200, 300 years ago. That's very important, and I think it's very important for our children and our people in general. They need to all understand, because, you know, the Tuscarora experience is not that different from any other Native nation's experience, you know?
Right.
So
there's
going to be this history, that the real history. You know, it's not always pretty, but I think that it's something that we still need to know, because if we don't know that, you know, we will forget who we are.
Wow. For me, that would be the biggest tragedy. If we survived, our ancestors had to survive, and all that they went through, and we made it to this point, and then somehow our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews were erased or forgot who they were. To me, that would be the great tragedy. And so
indeed,
as I listen to you, I am so moved by your life, by your dedication. And I want us to raise the next generation to be dedicated as well, you know, to want to preserve these precious culture gifts, these wonderful things that people literally fought and died to ensure that they had. You know, it's a privilege to pray as Native people, because we didn't have freedom of religion.
Right.
Until, you know, the 20th century. And so
right, 1978.
That's right. I mean, that's not ancient history. Again, it's not
right.
Like, well, kids, back in the day, you know. No, that's literally like, you know, recent history. And so when I say, you know, we have a privilege to pray, that's because people met in the dark and met by fire and went out in the woods and hid to keep these things alive for us now. And we have to recognize how precious those gifts are. And even as we present them to our children, especially in Indigenous homeschooling, I think we have to tell that part. The history is not just, oh, here's what happened, kids. It's what happened and how we persevered and how we're still here. And now here's what you're going to be able to make happen. You know, we're going to see this generation do amazing things with our culture, our language, our traditions, especially now that they have the digital age and tools that, you know, other people didn't have. My grandfather used to say that the old ones had to remember. The ones that came next had to write it down. The ones after that had to hide it and keep it. But the ones right now can tell the whole world.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And we
indeed
get to do that.
We get to do that. Our children and grandchildren get to be the ones who tell the whole world, you know, bring it all back. Bring it all back. And I'm so excited about that. I'm absolutely excited about that.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Hey, wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhett. I'm Tia. And I'm Heather. And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, and never look back once the war forgets.
I wanted you to help us with something else, too. I think sometimes people are intimidated when it comes to homeschooling because they don't think they have enough education or enough knowledge themselves. But in Indigenous homeschooling, I've had mothers tell me, oh, I'm not a fluent speaker, or, oh, I don't know all about it, you know, I wish I knew more about it, as if we have to be experts in order to teach. And you are an expert, but I'd love to know what you think. What would you say to those parents who are trying to homeschool but feel like, no, maybe they couldn't teach their children the language because they don't speak it fluently or they don't know all the history?
Well, I would say, I would talk to them like this. Have you made it this far in life as a Native person on your own accord here? You know, knowing what, you know, what you do know, knowing what you know of your people's language, of your people's history, you know, and your customs and such. You know, sure, you may not know it all, but you know what? Neither do those people that teach in the public school systems.
Right.
The Native parents, they know enough. Trust me. They feel inadequate sometimes, you know, like, because I'm not an expert, because I'm not an authority on my people's history or language or clothing or whatever, you know, you're good enough.
Yeah.
You're good enough. You're better than what you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that means the world coming from you. Thank you so much. And I hope that that inspires and empowers someone who's listening right now to run on, you know, to really learn and grow, because the joy of this, even if you are just parenting, even if you're just, you know, just I don't know, watching Saturday morning cartoons or walking around the backyard. You're always learning with your children anyway. You're always learning with your children. You're learning something from them. You're learning something because of them. They're learning something and sharing it with you. So it might as well be something wonderful. It might as well be something
yes.
indigenous. you're going to learn something anyhow, you know. And I think this is a wonderful thing. And, you know, nobody needs our permission. But just in case you need our encouragement, most of my career, I taught Native studies and I taught at the university level, college students, graduate students. I mean, most of my career, I was a, you know, college instructor. And one of the things that came to my mind almost immediately, I always had the intention, if I was ever blessed with children, that I would want to homeschool them, at least part of their educational career. And people would say to me, oh, do you think you can do that? And I would laugh because I thought, now literally they're paying me a very good salary to teach other people's children. You know, they're trusting me with classrooms of people, and I'm teaching them, and they're learning, and they're graduating, and they're going on to do good things. Why would I not be able to use the same PhD, the same master's degree, all of it, to teach my own child?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then I realized, that's colonization. That's actually colonization,
yeah.
That even when you have everything, you have more education than the teacher at the public school, right? I mean, you literally are more qualified than the person who is going to teach your child. People still say, oh, but do you think you can? You know, it's like, what? Yes.
Yes, of course.
I think so. And it's not just like, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It's like, yes, I think I'm qualified. I know that I'm qualified. Y'all qualified me. I went to dominant
Absolutely.
Cultural institutions and graduated.
Yep.
And I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying that the mindset is still the same at every level, that colonization creeps in and says, somehow you're not enough. You're not enough. Well,
right.
You are.
It has to be us, not you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, give
yeah.
us your children, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give us your children. It's all about us, not you. You're not good enough. You'll teach them things that we don't want them to know. And
mm-hmm.
I say
mm-hmm.
that homeschooling is decolonization in action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do want to say this again. If you can't homeschool, you can still be a powerful antidote. You know, you can still
yes.
be prepared for dinner table conversations where you correct some of the misperceptions and some of the egregious errors that your children are being taught. You can be ready. You know, Malcolm X said, only a fool allows his enemy to educate his children. And
mm-hmm.
we can be ready. And that's where everybody else comes in, too. The grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the godparents, the neighbors, the elders, the friends of the family, but you come in too. Because when you hear, you know, when you're talking to the young people in your life, what did you learn today at school? And they tell you, well, history starts in 1492. This is your moment to be prepared to have a loving conversation that decolonizes that. You know, the other day, my nephew and I were talking. And he says that he was very angry because people kept talking about slaves. And he said to his teacher, nobody is a slave. Nobody is born a slave. Nobody is a slave. They are people who were put into slavery. But they were doctors and mothers and kings and warriors and farmers and fathers and all kinds of people. They were people who then were enslaved. And I thought that was such a powerful thought for a teenager to have and even think like that, you know, that, no, it's not just slaves. It's people who were enslaved by an unjust system. And then he said, well, his teacher said, well, you know, that's part of your heritage or whatever. And he said, no, it's not. It's not. Because his father was born and raised in Nigeria. He doesn't have any slaves in his family tree.
Right.
And so he said his teacher actually believed that all people of African descent even though he is a member of a recognized tribe, federally enrolled. She believed that all people of African descent were slaves or came from slaves.
See, these are the things that I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. that I said mm-hmm. earlier, you had said earlier, you know, this is our worldview, our knowledge mm-hmm. base. You know, mm-hmm. it would eliminate this sort of ignorance within the mm-hmm. education system, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
And yet, because he had had loving conversations, he was prepared to push back. He was prepared not just to sit there and think, oh, my teacher thinks I come from inferior people. He was prepared to say, there are no inferior people.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that everyone else in our community can do as well, that help homeschooling parents. You know, be ready. You know, get ready. Get
yes.
ready to come in and correct. Because the misinformation is everywhere. It's not just at school. It's also on social media. It's also on television. I mean, you know, if you've ever watched any movies or documentaries that feature Indigenous people, you just get kind of tired. And we have to be ready then. That's part of homeschooling, is that we are ready then to address these issues that are not accurate and replace them with something else. It's not just enough to say, no, that's wrong. But we also have to be ready to say, oh, no, that's wrong. But let me tell you about the kingdoms. Let me tell you about the empires that existed before Columbus. Let me tell you about Cahokia. Let me tell you about, you know, let's bring it back, not just wrong. We're not just correcting, because then we're still admitting that the colonial structure has more power than we do if we spend all our time correcting
right.
it. What we want to do is fill our children with the right information. And it's so right that my granddaddy used to say, you know, real recognizes real and you're looking unfamiliar. And so even when they hear something that isn't right, even if they don't know all the dates and the times and the details, they know that's not it. They know that their people, their tribes, their nations, whatever you're hearing that's not right, they can recognize it right away. That is so powerful. That is so wonderful. And what happens then when we raise these children who are the colonized? What does that look like for our tribes and nations?
That looks like success. That looks yeah. like strong young people entering our tribes and nations' economy
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
education system. Then in turn, these strong individuals, that those who are able to homeschool and raise these
yeah.
strong individuals will turn around and either become educators themselves in
yeah.
our communities. They
mm-hmm.
will become homeschoolers themselves when they have children. And of course, these same people may become doctors who may
mm.
help come back and help the people in their communities. I've known people, natives like that, who have specifically gone off to college to become, either get a degree in Indian law to
yeah.
help legally, you know, help their people. Others who have gotten degrees in psychology to go
mm.
back to their communities and help their communities overcome the intergenerational trauma that we've all experienced, you know,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and to help, you know, with those symptoms that,
mm-hmm.
you know, are prevalent on some reservations and such, you know, help heal them. All
mm-hmm.
honorable pursuits, you know,
yeah.
That's what I think it begins to look like when the homeschooled children grow up.
Mm, I love it. I love it. I love it. And again, you can use a hybrid model, you know. If you can't go all in, you can still get in and do
right.
these wonderful things, right? And I'm really excited. This is something that I'm passionate about, you know, our nonprofit, Wells of Victory. We have the Indigenous Inspiration Academy, which is our homeschool division. And Indigenous Mama, which strengthens our Native families, and Indigenous Inspiration, which is our spirituality and faith division. And I see this as our moment. Because of the pandemic, almost everybody was homeschooled for a minute.
Absolutely.
Even if you weren't going to be homeschoolers or you didn't know anything about homeschooling, suddenly, if you were alive in 2020, 2021, 2022, even 2023, online education, homeschooling, this became part of the world. And what I think it did that's marvelous is it normalized it. You know, it wasn't just, ooh, those homeschoolers over there at the farmer's market. It was everybody. All the children were homeschooled for a little bit at least, and some for 2 and 3 years. And so now this is a wonderful opportunity we have because this generation understands homeschooling. They get it. They
yes.
recognize it.
Yes.
It's approved of now, and it's a wonderful opportunity for us to step in to the light and then say, hey, let's talk about curriculum, because we do want you to do this right. We don't want you to just, you know, take the kids in the basement with a candle and a quill pen. And, you know, we do want to make sure we have strong curriculum. We want to make sure we have life lessons and life skills. We don't want to hurt our children. We want to make sure that we strengthen them and give them the education that they do need to walk in two worlds. And that this is a marvelous moment for that. This is an amazing time to be thinking about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing opportunity to take mm-hmm. off, take advantage of homeschooling because of what you just said. It's something mm-hmm. that I've been thinking about myself since the pandemic mm-hmm. began,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
so many children across Turtle Island were being homeschooled.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that. I've thought, you know, what opportunities will this present in the near future? You know, mm-hmm. because people who thought that it was an insurmountable obstacle to homeschool, now through necessity, they've had to.
Right.
And
right.
You know, based on, you know, what I have spoken to with Tuscaroras in my community, you know, mm-hmm. it all went well.
Yes, right.
It all went well.
Right.
It benefited yeah. the children, and it benefited the teachers, and everyone just seems very, everyone has seemed very agreeable to,
yeah.
to homeschooling, it seems. Yeah. I haven't really spoken to one person in the past 3 years who have said, oh, no, homeschooling was just the worst experience.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I've not heard that once, not even a hint of that.
Not even, right. And
yeah,
I have
so,
heard so many beautiful stories, just like you. Go ahead.
Yeah, just that the pandemic, although a bad thing, it's presented us with this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love everything you're saying, always, but I especially love this because you're right. I mean, and also what we found out, I think, is, you know, the emperor has no clothes. We found out, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz when they find out that the wizard isn't really all-powerful and magical. I think
right.
one of the things that what we found out was, oh, we can do this too. We can teach our children. We can, you know, I heard of people whose children were literally had an IEP, and they were telling them, oh, they're developmentally delayed or they're falling behind. And after 2 years of homeschooling, now they're in the gifted track.
Right.
Well,
right.
Wow.
That
so
is very real.
It is. And maybe colonialism, you know, keeps us thinking, oh, again, we're never enough. Your child's not enough. They're not keeping up. And then when we have a chance to do it ourselves, we find out, oh, they are, though. Maybe without the bullying
right.
and the fear of gun violence and the systemic racism and the, you know, all the other things they have to deal with at school, maybe they can just concentrate then on learning. I don't know.
Absolutely. That is something that I thought of as a child because
mm-hmm.
I was just never prepared for the public school system from the beginning. I just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first day of school was pretty traumatic for me.
And
being separated from my family because up till that point in my life, I had spent every single day of my life with my mother and my aunts, who were like mothers to me. And then suddenly I was being, you know, torn away from my family and legally forced to go do this public school. It was very traumatic. And and I was one of those students myself, you know, I learned differently than other people. And so there were times that I had teachers who just did not understand or take the time to try and teach me or in a different way, or they were too busy with a big class full of students and to focus on one child who didn't understand things in the same way that others did. But if you explain it to me the right way, I would get it and just excel. But it had to be explained to me in a specific way. I was that way most of my academic life. And I got better as I got older. But those are examples. I think of those children like that. And you know, my nephew was the same way. When my nephew, his first day of school, I was there because I knew that he is a lot like me. And I wanted to be there with him on his first day of school. So I went there, and my sister-in-law and I carried him to school. And yet he had a hard time with his first day of school, just like I did. And it was awful to have to live through that, seeing him so distraught over being in this place with these strangers, and he doesn't know anyone, and he doesn't know the teacher, and he doesn't know the other students, and he's not familiar with the building or the area that the school's in. It was so we stayed there with him for a while. I asked if we could stay there, and you know, till he got some semblance of calming down. But sorry to hijack that's important. I think, a very real thing that a lot more students deal with than not.
Yes.
I think that if children just had, especially children like that, if they could just be taught within the comfort of their own home, that's a non-intimidating, not a strange place, they could focus all of their energy on just learning.
Right. And
instead of, is the teacher going to yell at the class next, or what's going to happen next? And, oh, we got to do active shooter drill. And,
My goodness. And, thank you so much for sharing that very real and very raw, transparent example. And if you love school, and if your child loves school, see, this is what I think decolonization is, really, at the core. The right to choose. So if your child loves school and just thinks, you know, they're just Mr. School or Miss School, they just love their school, good, great. If you want them to go to a certain kind of school, that should be your choice. But if you're looking at your child and thinking, the schools we have available to this child are not a good match, then you should also have another choice. We want our children to get the best possible education. We have a family in our homeschool co-op, for example, that the older child goes to school and loves it. It's like the mayor of school, like student body president, like that kind of kid, you know? And then the other child is like, no, school is just horrible. It's terrible. And is homeschooled.
Yeah.
That's decolonization to me. It's not saying now we're not going to swing wide the other way and say you have to decolonize by homeschooling your children or you're not indigenous enough. No, we're saying whatever it is that helps your child to thrive, we want them to have that choice and the ability to be in the best educational environment for them.
I agree. Good words.
Your wisdom. You know, to bring it back to your birthday and this wonderful life that you're living, I'm going to hand you the mic and ask you to speak directly, especially to our young people. We have a lot of homeschooling families who listen to this show. We have a lot of colleges that students listen to this show.
for authentic Indigenous content, you know. But I'd like you to take the wisdom of your life and share it with our young people now, please.
Okay. I would say to the students to look for the best path forward. If there are students that are stuck in the public school system that may be having a difficult time in the public school system, you know, they say it gets better, and it does. You know, it got better for me after I graduated.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but look for the best path that you can walk within the public school system. You know, there are people who are friendly there. You do have friends there. You know, you just may have to find them. And that's not always so easy. You know, you're cast into this ocean of children, other children, you know, and you don't know who's a friend and who's a foe and, you know, who's nice and who's a bully. And, you know, it takes so much time, and I respect that. That's, mm-hmm. you know, so many adults don't, or forget, maybe. I don't want to say it's that they don't understand. I think it's that they forget just how difficult it is being a child in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that. They just forget. I mean, as adults, you know, we think of the problems that children have as insignificant in comparison yeah. to ours. Mm-hmm. But to those children, those problems that they have are the biggest problems they've ever had in their young lives by that point.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I say, you know, even as the teachers, I was always close with my teachers. You know, I always had a good relationship with my teachers in school. You know, they were probably the best part of the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are allies there. You know, find your friends if you have to be there. You know, if you are an adult who can homeschool, a parent who can homeschool, then, you know, wat kana herate. I respect, mm-hmm. give you my respect and honor and encourage you to do so, because as Native people, our, you know, it's something we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we have to do, parents. You know, we mm-hmm. have to take control at some point of the narrative and tell mm-hmm. our story, teach our story to our children.
Yes. Such good words. Such a well-lived life, and you have many, many more years of great wisdom and good health and happiness awaiting you. And I'm just so happy that we could honor you today and that you honored us by helping us to talk about these things in such a good way. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Many, many happy returns of the day. And for all our friends who are listening, you'll be able to see Happily Ever After, our new music video that is created in honor of Dwayne Brayboy and his birthday, and how much we love, respect, and honor this great Tuscarora teacher. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for being surprised and celebrating your birthday with us.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you. It's always an honor to be here and speak with you and know that I'm talking to your wonderful audience. I'm so grateful and honored to really be here. And thank you so much for the honor of your beautiful words and the dedication of your song.
We love you. And we are so
I love you too.
We love everyone
who
listens to this show. We're just grateful for your time with us today and everyone who makes this show possible. And our love for Dwayne Brayboy, as my grandfather and my uncle O used to say, my love for you is infinite. And that was more than enough. So thank you, Dwayne Brayboy, for joining us today. And thank you to all of you who join us and make this show possible. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together again. See you next time.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. What's the world for
you? You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.